Speak in the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I told this story once before, I think, in this church. It's one of my favourites. Back in the 1930s, a film director was making a big western and got to the final gunfight scene between the cowboys and the Indians, and he had four cameras in place. One was on the balcony of a building, one was in a pit in the middle of the street where the cowboys and Indians were going to be riding in. One was on the back of one of the horses, and one was a cameraman up on the hillside looking down to get the wide-angle shot. So everyone was ready, all the actors with their costumes on, lights, camera, action, and the Indians came galloping into the town, their rifles blazing, war whooping, shooting arrows to set fire to the town. There's a terrific fight, till eventually, several minutes later, the smoke clears. There's cowboys and Indians strewn all over the ground, and the director says, "Cut!" He said, "That was fantastic, absolutely how I'd pictured it in my mind. Camera one on the balcony, did you get that all right?" Camera one on the balcony says, "Well, sorry boss, but there were flames everywhere. I couldn't see properly, actually it was so hot it nearly melted the film." He said, "Oh, well, never mind. Camera two in the pit, did you get that all right?" "Sorry, director, it was absolutely hopeless. Dust everywhere, absolutely ruined the shot. Couldn't see anything at all." "Camera number three, on horseback, did you get that?" "No, sorry, it was jolting around all over the place and absolutely didn't work at all. Sorry." "Well, camera four up on the hillside, surely you got that all right." He gets the megaphone. "Camera four, did you get that all right?" To which camera four says, "Ready when you are." Today is about getting synchronized with one another. Vision Day. Synchronized with the director, who is God, not the vicar. Spirit leading and directing as Jesus promised he would. And we need to be very clear today. We've called it Vision Day. Vision doesn't come on one day. It's something which unfolds gradually in various ways. And we need to be very clear that Jesus is Lord of the church. He has the right to rule. It's not the bishop. It's not the vicar. It's not the church committee. Those are all fallible people who need our prayers. Our job today is prayerfully to listen and to see, as far as we can, what God wants us to be doing. I pray that from today we'll have a clearer picture of what God wants St. Mary's in particular to look like in 5 years' time, perhaps even looking ahead to 10 years' time. And then it's about having a clear plan of action so that we can move forward together in obedience to that vision, a strategy for putting it into practice. And in the set reading, the set gospel reading we've just heard, which you might want to have open in front of you, you'll see there are various important principles. This is going to be a very short 10-point sermon. But very short 10-point sermon. Just 10 things which come out from that service, that reading, Luke's account of the 70 being sent out. The first thing it's very clear is that it's a team enterprise. It isn't just Jesus, he sends out 70 people to be involved. The children have an activity worksheet that they're working through at the moment, and it has on it, it's fantastically produced, it has a section which says, "What if you were the vicar? Draw in yourself as vicar. If you were the vicar, is there anything new you would introduce into our church life?" And the point is, it's a team effort. It's not just what the vicar wants. We're all involved in prayerfully discerning what God wants, the whole church family. That's why we're hoping as many as possible be able to stay for the rest of the day so we can listen to one another and seek to hear God's voice. We're aiming not at the vicar's plan or the church council's plan. We're aiming at our best understanding of God's plan. So it's a team enterprise. Secondly, the job is all about preparing the way for Jesus to come. It's very clear in that reading, those 70 people are sent out to prepare. Those were the places where Jesus was going. Jesus was going to come into people's lives bringing salvation, bringing joy and purpose, forgiveness, healing, hope, reconciliation, justice, peace, guidance, wisdom. What the Bible sums up as the kingdom of God, we're preparing the way for Jesus to come into people's lives. Thirdly, he says the harvest is plentiful. And that's true for us, I think. Horsham is growing, St Mary's is growing in lots of ways. I'm hugely encouraged, so grateful for all that God is doing in our midst as a church family, the growth in our work, for example, with children and young families, but also with the older generation, things like the informal coffee, early retirees moving into Horsham in order to be near to grandchildren is a phenomenon that we're experiencing as well. The pilgrim groups which are multiplying, feedback from things like the Flower Festival or the Civic Service or Kairos or the big choral services we have. I feel hugely blessed by a fantastic team of colleagues here at St Mary's, both paid and unpaid, and just by the warmth of the fellowship. One prayerful church member describes St Mary's as experiencing a wonderful time of blossoming and blessing. And I certainly echo that in my spirit. I'm so grateful to God. But then they went on to say that that blossom now needs to lead into us bearing mature and ripe fruit, going deeper and growing stronger, deeper in our faith, deeper in our understanding, deeper in our relationships, both with one another and with God, stronger in each area of ministry. That will involve pruning as well as pollinating and maturing. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but he says the labourers are few. And that's true for us in certain key areas. Children and youth work, you'll hear more about later. Financial resources, we're aware that this building needs lots of TLC at the moment. And if you add up the costs of conservation and renewal and possible renewal of the church centre and external giving as well, we are facing a real challenge. The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers, the resources, feel few. Fifthly, as a result, Jesus lays out four steps for his followers, and that would be points 5, 6, 7, and 8. First is, when you're faced with a challenge like that, harvest is plentiful, labourers are few, first thing you do is to pray. That's why we've been praying for today. It's why you had a prayer card. That's why we had a prayer meeting on Monday. Today is about prayerful listening. We need God's help. In the Flower Festival, the German prayer, I think, said it really well. The prayer which went with the flower arrangement from Germany goes like this. Lord, these are such little things for which we pray. It's often true. We pray for little things. If someone were to ask them of me, I could do them as well. But you are 100 times more able than I, and even more willing. So if we ask you for something greater, you could still give it. And the more willingly, the greater it is that we ask for. More about the challenge to be a prayerful and faithful people after coffee. So first of all, pray. Secondly, go in faith. And that's very clear from the reading that we heard. It's all about not knowing how the Lord is going to provide. Go with no purse, go with no equipment, go even if it's scary. There are wolves out there. Go like sheep out into wolves. Go in faith. At the prayer meeting that we had on Monday up in the Leslie room, Frank made 2 really useful points, I thought, when we were praying together. He listened to all the things that we might be wanting to do as a church family and asked a question, a very obvious question: where is the money coming from? But then he thought for a little bit more, and Frank said, but I remember when we were building this very room that we're praying in, it felt exactly the same. It was really scary before the Leslie room was built. And he remembered Canon Tanzil, my predecessor as vicar here, saying, I don't know where the money's coming from, but it will come. And we have a story of faith that we are building upon. Go in faith. Then the third thing that Jesus says, he says, pray, go in faith, and then find those who share in peace, he says. Partners with goodwill. There'll be some who welcome you and your mission and your message. There'll be others who don't. Shake the dust from your feet as far as they're concerned. Be discerning as you go. Work with those who share in the work of the kingdom. Don't work with those who don't. But go and share with them. The Vision Day is not a one-off event. It's a whole exercise of listening so we can plot a flexible course. And as we go out in faith, we'll find some people we want to work with and are actually able to work with because we share the same values, others that we can't. And then the fourth thing that Jesus said was bring God's power to heal and save where people are. not in our own safe comfort zone here in church, but go to where they are. St. Mary's, we call ourselves and we aspire to be a church inspired by God's passion for the world. Horsham and Britain are growing and changing. That's been so obvious to us this last couple of weeks on the national scene. We live in an increasingly multicultural society. We must go where people are. That will mean that sometimes we're well out of our comfort zone culturally. And a church in mission will feel vulnerable, will feel uncertain, despite the plans that we may draw up later today, or at least begin to. Finally, it is Christ's message. We will feel vulnerable. We will feel that we're not entirely sure how our message is going to go down. Sometimes it will be accepted. Sometimes it will be rejected. But it's not about us. It's not about St. Mary's Church. It's about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read, in closing, a quote from Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was from El Salvador. He was assassinated, really because the church was standing up against the Marxist government and some of the things that it was trying to introduce. But he said this: "It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's beyond even our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. But this is what we are about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We can't do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not the master builders. We are ministers, not messiahs. We are the prophets of a future, not our own." So we keep everything we're doing today in the perspective of the kingdom of God, which is his, and it's not ours. We do not own it, and it's not about the kingdom of St. Mary's. The result: those disciples were sent out and they returned with joy. All opposition that they've been afraid of has been overcome. And in the words of Isaiah from our first reading, that is what God promises to his people. He says, "For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. You shall see, you shall have vision, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies." We side with God, and we look forward later today to seeing what that's going to mean. I'm going to close with the prayer, which has been our prayer for this process. More about how the rest of the day patterns out, both in the notices and over coffee. But for now, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to guide us each step of the way as we seek your will for St. Mary's together, that we may be more and more truly a church inspired by God's passion for the world. As we listen for your voice, may we recognize your promptings and respond to your will alone. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.